listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at www.svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace from God, who comes to us even this day in peace and in grace. Amen. Today is the 25th anniversary of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and we have some of our t-shirts that they've created for this event, and if you haven't picked up your t-shirt and ordered one, they're out in the narthex after the service. This day, all over the country, Evangelical Lutheran churches are doing service projects to celebrate. What a wonderful way to celebrate your birthday, by going out into the community and getting involved in different ways. I just wanted to share with you this morning the bit from the ELCA news service that talks about this day, and it shares what some other congregations are doing across the country. So it just kind of gives us a perspective on what all's happening today. This is from Chicago. Celebrating 25 years as a church that rolls up its sleeves and gets to work, members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America will participate in God's Work Our Hands Sunday, September 8th, a dedicated day of service in which this church's 4 million members can observe the anniversary by playing a critical part in addressing the needs of their neighborhoods and their communities. At Advent Lutheran Church in Mentor, Ohio, members created service projects for all ages to participate in the day of service. The congregation plans to bake and distribute cookies to police and firefighters, to build and repair picnic tables for a local homeless shelter, to write letters to military personnel and veterans, and to perform random acts of kindness around the country, the community, excuse me. In Palatine, Illinois, 3 Evangelical Lutheran Church congregations will combine efforts to help make a difference in their community. They'll take part in many activities, which include visiting shut-ins, preparing a Habitat for Humanity house for rehab, quilting prayer shawls, assembling and stocking shelves at the local food pantry, and helping with house chores and yard work for seniors in the area. The pastor of that church quotes, "This is a way for our congregation to intentionally show our corner of the world who we are and what we do. But it's not just here. There's a great spirit of joy around the country. It's great to be part of a church that celebrates its anniversary by sharing God's love with the world, by going out into the world." Additional service projects include Redeemer Lutheran Church in Pendel, Pennsylvania. They plan to create 100 care packets for a local hospital to distribute to families who have loved ones in intensive care and cardiac care units. Ballard First Lutheran Church in Seattle will kick off a year of learning and service, helping educate members about many opportunities to serve in the community. Kihei Lutheran Church in Kihei, Hawaii, part of our synod here, has collected more than 1,500 pounds of canned goods for the community food pantry and for low-income school children who may not have enough food on the weekends. Finally, Lord of Light Lutheran Church in Ann Arbor, Michigan, will collect non-perishable food items for low-income students who may not have regular meals during extended breaks from school. We are working very hard to develop our congregation members to see the need of our community as well as in the world. Our congregation also pushes us as leaders to find ways to put our faith into action, says Leslie Ford, who's the council president at Lord of Life Lutheran Church. God's Work Our Hands Sunday is designed to emphasize this church's commitment to participate in the work of restoring and reconciling communities and pursuing peace and justice. Council president goes on to say that her congregation embraces this calling within their community and beyond. We are not afraid to be Christ's hands in our community. We aren't afraid to face the realities of brokenness, loss, and poverty in our world. We aren't afraid to sweat or end up covered in dirt or exhaust ourselves with tough work. We aren't afraid to look a hurting person in the eyes, to hold their hand, to see their soul as a reflection of ours, to help them through in Jesus' name. So we add all of that to what we're doing here in San Diego. We have 10 plus churches in this area with whom we've invited, with whom you're invited to connect with this day. There's a nice list out in the narthex if you're so inclined of the different service project opportunities. And here we are, probably by the looks of this monstrosity over in the corner, you can tell what we're up to here in Shepherd of the Valley today, which is we're offering a quilting day, but that's not for everyone. So you're encouraged to get involved with the service project throughout the city. So 10 plus of our churches are involved too. So it's wonderful, and I wanted to start with that. It's wonderful to think of all the service. Just think about all the service that is being done around the country today in celebration of God's goodness to our church body. Jesus talks today in no unclear terms about discipleship, about taking up our crosses and following, about rejecting our own families if they stand in the way of the path to discipleship. Once again, we have a harsh word from Jesus. The church overall is getting smaller, we know from statistics, but when we have readings like this, I'm surprised that the church is as large as it is. Jesus is looking for serious followers, courageous and loyal followers who aren't afraid, like the article said, to roll up their sleeves and get to work. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote in his famous book called The Cost of Discipleship about cheap grace. Cheap grace. He says, quite graphically, he says, "We have gathered like eagles around the carcass of cheap grace, and there we have drunk of the poison that has killed the life of following Christ. We poured forth unending streams of grace, but the call to follow Jesus was hardly ever heard." I hope that we can hear this day the call to follow Jesus. Pastor George Johnson, in his book entitled Beyond Guilt, George Johnson has preached here before. He writes a book called Beyond Guilt, which is to say, get beyond the guilt of not getting out there and doing more. Just get beyond it. And he writes a book of what follows in response to suffering in the world. He writes in his book Beyond Guilt about this movement from belief to following. In other words, into discipleship. He writes, "When new members are received into our churches, we seldom ask them if they have responded to the call to follow Jesus Christ. We ask them about their beliefs. Do you believe in Jesus? No new member has questioned me as to what it means to believe. Most find it easy to say they believe in God and in Jesus. As Bonhoeffer says, we haven't asked any awkward questions. In the Sunday morning service, some stand and recite a confession of faith, which is what we'll do in just a little bit. We believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Would it make a difference if we stood and said, I am a follower of Jesus who was executed because of his subversive love for me and for my neighbor? Or, I have decided to follow Jesus this coming week in all I say, do, or think? Could it be that our desire to keep the gospel pure, that in our desire to keep the gospel pure and be clear on salvation as a gift, we have failed to extend the call to follow Jesus Christ as it is given in the scriptures? Have we been too afraid of the role of decision on our part? Isn't coming to a decision a work of the Holy Spirit also?" It's a tough word for us Lutherans to hear. Talk about grace all the time. And here, fellow Lutheran pastor is challenging us to think, if we've put too much emphasis on grace just overflowing and we have not taken seriously the call Jesus has for us this day and every day, the call to follow, to put down our things, to take up our crosses and to follow. Jesus does call us, though. That's the good news. Jesus snaps us out of our funks and puts us on a clear path And that's the good news. There's never a right time to give up everything and to follow. So that makes now the right time. What is Jesus asking of you this week? Jesus tells us to give up our stuff again. We've had something similar to this for the last 5 weeks. Are you getting tired of Jesus yet? He keeps asking us to give up our things. I think it's because it's so hard to do and it's so easy to forget. I'll probably forget as soon as I walk out. Do we own our things or do our things own us? I think that's what Jesus is getting at by this challenge. Do we own our stuff or does our stuff own us? Jesus frees us, though, from all that by calling us boldly and strongly and clearly. Jesus frees us from all that by being honest with us. Doesn't pretend like the road of discipleship is an easy one. It's very clear that the way of the cross will be a rocky and hard road. Jesus frees us from our stuff and from all this. This static and confusion and distraction, Jesus frees us from all that this day by clearing a way with a very clear call, clearing the way for us to follow. Sisters and brothers in Christ, you are God's most beloved child. And today God continues to mold you and to shape you. God continues to call you and to need you. It's never too late. And we don't go about this work of discipleship alone. With each other here at Shepherd of the Valley, with other churches around our city and around our country, and with the whole body of Christ, we serve together. We hear that call and respond together. And this is grace too.
From all of us at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit www.elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.